Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. And we're going through the Psalms kind of slowly because the Holy Spirit keeps putting things into my mind and my heart as I'm as I feel nudged or inspired by the words that I'm reading here in the Psalms. He has put a new song in my mouth. And chapter 40, verse 3, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in Yahuwah. And you know, that's my prayer, that many shall see it and fear and trust in him. Blessed is the man that maketh Yahuwah, you know, the Lord, our God, our Creator, his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. And yes, before the break, I was talking about turning aside to lies, allowing the pollution of idols into the congregation, incorporating them into our worship even, and embracing them, and then saying, hey, it's okay. But it doesn't end there. A little pollution, when you tolerate that, you get a little more pollution till you become totally polluted. And during the break, this turning aside to lies made me think of a man here who recently announced, and this was a so-called contemporary Christian music artist, and he sang a couple songs. One of them was, I think probably the one that he's most noted for, because I think he composed it and wrote it himself, is I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb. That's right. His name eludes me for the moment, and his name is not important. But he did that song. You could probably Google it and find out who the man is. But he here announced a few months ago that he was born a homosexual, and he started attending a homosexual church. That's right. And discovered that he was born a homosexual. And he announced that to his family and ended his marriage of, you know, 30 to 40 years. And went out to pursue his new life. And all I thought is, wow, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb? I don't think so. Because if you pledge allegiance to the Lamb, don't you pledge allegiance to his kingdom and his law? How can you believe the lie? I was born that way. Yeah, he fell for that lie. Yeah, he fell for the temptation. And he pledged allegiance. He's pledging his allegiance to something else now. And is not the Lamb of God, I'll tell you that much, or his kingdom come. He's believed the lie. And that's where it goes. You know, you let the pollution in, you get used to that, a little more comes in. Evangelicalism, it's anything just to bring people in to the congregation. Just bring them in, bring them all in. Practicing their idolatry, you bring them in and you accommodate them. And you allow their pollution in. And you become more and more polluted all the time. That's what evangelicalism does, because evangelicalism is just ecumenism. It's just another name for bringing all the people of the earth, because that's what ecumenism does. That's what the mother church practices. We got to bring all the pagans in. So we embrace all of their idolatries, and we'll just Christianize them. Yes, we'll sprinkle holy water on it, and it'll be okay. We'll wrap it in the cloak of Christianity, the pollutions of idols, and we can practice it that way. And then we can bribe the children with candy and gifts, and that way, when they grow up, they'll bribe their children with candy and gifts, and their great-great-grandchildren, and the parents and the grandchildren get together, and every year around Merry Christ's death, yes, the winter solstice, the rebirth of the sun, that pagan idolatry, we'll bribe them with candy and gifts, and it'll drive the nation. It'll drive the economy. It's idolatry. It's all idolatry. Oh, Jesus is the reason for the season. It's okay to say Merry Christmas. How brainwashed can you be? That's what the corporate church is saying. And then you got all the dumb, stupid pagans And all those idiot so-called atheists out there fighting against people saying Merry Christmas, they should be embracing it. They should be saying, yes, say Merry Christ's death. It's good for the Christians to embrace pagan idolatry. But everyone is so brainwashed and so confused that you can see that none of them have a clue as to what's going on. Not the corporate church. And yes, they're corporate citizens of the state too. And not any of the corporate unbelievers, or corporate pagans, or corporate atheists. Yes, they're all incorporated with the state. They've got their number. Yes, and I've got their number too. I can see who they are. It's self-evident. So, blessed is the man that maketh Yahuwah his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. We need to sort it out, people. The people of God, those that love the truth, those that love his word, those that want to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. We need to examine everything in the light of his word, in the light of his truth. We need to examine everything we do, every tradition we have, every thought that grows through our mind, every word that comes out of our mouth. We need to examine it all in the light of his word and judge it now. But let us judge according to his word. Let his word be the standard. And let us rightly divide the word, not to make it say what we want. Oh, I've heard plenty of the corporate pastors out there saying that, oh yes, Valentine's Day is a-okay. And they'll tell you about St. Valentine's. I've heard at least, you know, half a dozen different stories to make it okay, and Christmas okay, different takes on that, and different takes on Ashtaroth, sunrise worship, and I've heard it all. But then when I take those things and really examine them in the light of Scripture and rightly divide, letting Scripture interpret Scripture, I see that they are all fallacies. I can't turn aside to lies, no matter how well they tickle itching ears. They sound good. That's what that means, by the way. It sounds really good. You want to believe it because it's comfortable, because it leaves you in your comfort zone. Because you know what? It's uncomfortable to realize that you fell for the bribery of candy and gifts when you were a child, and that it's more comfortable to continue the traditions. It's more comfortable to not deprive your children, but to continue to the bribery into pagan idolatry, because it is uncomfortable to take a stand against those things. What's wrong with you? Oh, you're depriving your children. Oh, now that's child abuse. Yeah, see how that works? It's child abuse if you deprive your children of pagan idolatry and the rituals of romance. It is now child abuse. That's where it's going, people. Because it's plain to see for those who have eyes to hear. I mean, eyes to see and ears to hear. Let's continue here in verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, many, Yahuwah, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Yahuwah, thou knowest. So what does he want? Because burnt offerings and sacrifice, yes, they were instructed to do those things. But to delight to do his will, yea, that his law is within our hearts. That's what he delights in. That's what he delights to see. And especially now that the Lamb of God forfeited his life, he laid it down willingly, he shed his blood to cover our sins. As it says in Hebrews, there's no more need for continual sacrifice, because this continual sacrifice of blood and the blood of bulls and goats was not sufficient. But he once for all laid down his life. His one sacrifice was sufficient for all. Doesn't need to be repeated. We aren't continually having Mary or Mass, Christ's death. That's a heretical doctrine that goes against the scripture. It goes against what's written there in Hebrew. He once and for all. That's right. No more need for continual sacrifice. No more need for the continual sacrifice of the priest temple system. That's another reason that when he said it is finished on the cross, the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. And he said it is finished. The sacrifice was over. He put an end to the sacrifice in the middle of the week. Daniel's 70th week, as foretold by the prophets. What does he want? What does he require from us? I delight, chapter 40 and verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Is his law in your heart? Oh, I pray it so. I want his law. I delight in his law. I meditate on it day and night. Keeps me out of trouble. That's right. Meditate in his law day and night. And you'll find yourself becoming less and less like the world all the time. Be ye not conformed to this world. We are to be separate. We are true separatists. Those who are his remnant, those who belong to his holy nation that covers the whole earth, that goes beyond the nations of the world, beyond the nations and kindreds and tongues of men, over all the earth, beyond the borders, the imaginary borders of their kingdoms, which will all pass away because they will all be supplanted by his holy nation, as foretold by Daniel the prophet when he interpreted the king that God gave Nebuchadnezzar, that told of the mystery Babylon image. That's where mystery Babylon is. You want to know where mystery Babylon is in the scripture? Always look in the scripture for the answer to the mystery. Mystery Babylon is that image from the head of gold down to the feet and the toes of clay and iron. And when that times of the nations or times of the Gentiles is fulfilled, when that great rock comes out of the sky and strikes the image of the feet and becomes a mountain and fills the whole earth, and the image is blown away like the chaff of the threshing floor, so there's no place found for it. That's what we have to look forward to. His kingdom forever. His is the only kingdom. It will supplant every kingdom on the earth. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will. And of course, this is considered a messianic prophecy fulfilled. I delight to do thy will, O God, yea, thy law is within my heart. So let his law be in your heart, and you will be in his kingdom, that kingdom which will never end. In verse 9, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Yahuwah, thou knowest, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me. O Yahuwah, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Yahuwah, to deliver me. O Yahuwah, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. Yes, I can hear it today. All of the God's men, his men in prison, all of the servants of our Creator that are in prison, those that are out there going, aha, aha, and rejoicing over their calamity, over their persecution. Let them be ashamed and confounded together. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame. Verse 16, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, Yahuwah, be magnified. Do you love his salvation? Is the love of his salvation greater than the love of anything this world has to offer? Is it greater than the love of romance? Is it greater than the love of your wife, your husband, your children? It has to be greater than all of those. Because Jesus, Yahshua, our Messiah, he said, whoever loves mother or father more than me is not worthy of me. If you love your children, your kin, your wife, your husband, more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. That's a warning, people. That's telling us what kind of stand we may have to take. And I see some parents standing out there while their children are being taken. I've seen fathers not give in when their wives are turned against them and fall for the idolatry of the state. Of course, I've seen men give in too. I've seen the opposite. And you know what? That most people will give in. At some point, they will give in. Men will let their wives rule them and their household to the damnation of their children rather than stand up and be men, even if it costs them their family and their household, believing in our Creator, believing that no matter what happens on this earth, that he will save their souls, even if it requires them losing them now. I've been through it myself. My first wife, by the power of the gun of the state, kept my children from me. But you know what? I prayed. I said, Father, I'm speaking of my first daughter, she may have her body, but I want her heart. And you know what? He is faithful. Yes, I miss being a father. And me and my daughter, a lot was stolen from us. That's right. We missed a lot of things. And it's, you know, we feel that grief even today. Both of us do. She realizes what she missed, and I realize what I missed, because she's a mother now. And she knows how important it is for children to have their fathers, their daddies. And she realized she missed all that. It was stolen from her by an evil woman. But she is following the Messiah today. She is walking day by day closer to his law, walking in his way more and more every day. The progress is beautiful to see. I have her heart. So our God is faithful. No matter how it looks, no matter what pollution, they may pollute your children's minds, fathers and mothers out there, you that have lost your children, you that are suffering that loss right now, and they're trying to turn your children against you and trying to indoctrinate them in the world. You just believe. Just have faith. I lost my daughter for 7 years. I did get her back at the end of her teenage years. And of course, she had learned rebellion from the world and the world system and the public school system. And I kept her until she was 18, and then I couldn't keep her any longer because, of course, the law of the state allows her, gives her license to break God's law and be disobedient to her parents by giving her adulthood, license to do whatever she wants. So she took the license of the state and she fled from her father. But I had schooled her for several years at the end of her teenage years in the Bible, and I homeschooled her for a few years. And when she left me, she wandered for 7 years. And that 7 years, I kept in contact with her because I never gave up on her. I knew she was coming back to me because I had her heart. That was obvious. All the time she was with her mother, I didn't have to say a thing. All I had to do was pray. And all she ever wanted to do was be with me. I had her heart. And while she, after she departed from my house for 7 years, she wandered. She delved into everything. She delved into the pagan idolatry and witchcraft of her mother and her mother's mother. And I just continued to pray for her. And my prayer was an awful prayer. I'm going to tell you right now, I wasn't praying for any, for her comfort. I said, you know, I prayed, Heavenly Father, I want her to be miserable. I want her to be absolutely miserable until she turns back to you. And that poor girl was one of the most miserable people on the planet. Of course, he kept her out of the misery that brings destruction, you know, like some of those drugs out there. But she went into a spiritual misery where she was afraid to live and more afraid to die because of the demons of the idolatry and the witchcraft from her mother and her mother's mother that came upon her. She was one of the most miserable people I ever knew. And she admits it to this day. And I never told her about my prayer either. All that time, all that 7 years, I never told her about my prayer. And after that 7 years, in the 8th year, there was a change. She finally gave in. She finally surrendered. You know, she was like that prodigal son, found herself chewing on corn husk with the swine. And she said, wow, I remember the days of my father's house when there was plenty and I was happy and I was not miserable. And she returned. And now she's raising up my grandchildren in the nurture and admonition of our Heavenly Father. She is homeschooling them. And every day I see her walking closer and closer. I see God's law being written on her heart every day. And I still continue to pray. And so there's a testimony of encouragement out there for you fathers out there and you mothers and families. Don't give in. Be more afraid of what will happen if you give in. I've seen what happens to fathers that give in, that capitulate to their wives. They become like women. That's right, with their wives ruling over them. And their wives are miserable. They're miserable. Their children are miserable. And they all are going down to the pit together. Nah, you don't save anything by compromising. You stand fast, even if you have to stand fast for the rest of your life. Paul did not say in vain, endure to the end and you shall be saved. Or was it the Messiah? Yes, it was the Messiah who said those words. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. And he was talking about the end of your mortal existence. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned for the news.